We bring you two homilies from a series given by Father John A. Hardin, S.J. Father Hardin is well known as a spiritual guide, retreat master, and author. One of his latest books is Holiness in the Church. He is the author of the renowned Catholic Catechism, which has been strongly endorsed by Holy Mother Church. In these homilies, Father Hardin very pointedly brings out a specific virtue that can be gleaned from the scripture readings of the day, and he then makes a practical application to our daily living. Anyone listening often to these beautiful meditations will be encouraged and inspired to determine to follow Christ more closely in his or her particular state in life. In the following meditative homily, Father Hardin speaks of gentleness. Father Hardin.
In the spirit of the gospel we have just read from St. Matthew, and in the context of so much that our Savior has been teaching us, we should reflect on the virtue of gentleness. As Isaiah foretold of the Savior, he will not break the bruised reed, he will not contend, he will not cry out. Gentleness is written on almost every page of the Gospels describing the Savior. Yet there are certain virtues that are, as we might expect, popular in certain times. No doubt because they conform with the spirit of those times. By now, thousands of volumes have been written on the spirit of our times. And I suppose in the Western world at least, the features that characterize our age are aggressiveness, boldness, a strong, often ruthless effort to conquer. Since the turn of our present century, we have had two devastating world wars that accumulatively have cost more lives lost than in all the previous wars of human history. Surely then, the virtue of gentleness scarcely typifies our age. And yet, if we are going to be authentic followers of the Master, we must be gentle. So we ask ourselves first, what is this virtue of gentleness? Then, look briefly at our Lord's teaching about this virtue and his practice of the same. And then to apply all of this to ourselves, of why we, if we wish to be truly Christ-like, must be gentle. Gentleness is the virtue that restrains the passion of anger. Over the centuries, it has been variously described, sometimes poetically, sometimes theologically. where anger flares up, gentleness calms down. Where anger is a bursting flame, gentleness is a gentle rain. Where anger asserts itself and crushes, gentleness embraces and quiets and soothes. Yet as we hear these and similar descriptions of gentleness, we are liable to make the mistake, as I dare say so much of the modern world makes the mistake, of identifying gentleness with weakness. A gentle person is a meek person. So most people think that a gentle person is a weak person. It is just the opposite. In order to be truly gentle, now that does not mean soft or sentimental, one must be strong. Only strong people can be gentle. Because gentleness restrains strength by love. Whether it's strength of body that could destroy physically, or strength of will that could crush volitionally, or strength of mind that could devastate intellectually. It's only such people that can even begin to be gentle. And the reason, of course, is because they've got something to restrain. But the motive power behind gentleness is always love. Love of the other, for whose sake I restrain myself. There are then two qualities that belong to the meaning of gentleness. And they are strength and love. As we turn to the Gospels and ask ourselves, where and how has the Savior commended this virtue to our practice? At first sight, we may be shocked to learn that there is only one express occasion when Christ explicitly told us to learn from Him. Now, of course, He was teaching constantly, but only once did He formally tell us, command us to learn of Him. Learn of Me, He told us, for I am gentle and humble of heart. So the first and primary lesson that we learn from Christ's own telling us, bidding us to imitate Him, especially in His gentleness, is that if we are to be gentle as He was, we must be humble like He was. Gentleness or meekness, which are synonymous, are impossible in the absence of humility. Why, if we've ever asked ourselves, why do we get irritated with people? Why do they bother us? Why all these inner and sometimes outer flares of passion? Isn't it because somehow, though we may not even articulate the fact to ourselves, that we, well, don't like what the person is doing because we feel the person has no right to be doing this, at least not in my presence, or I wouldn't do this? Who does she think she is, talking that way to me? If we wish, then, in imitation of Jesus, to be gentle, we must become humble. So much so that I do not hesitate to say that the best single barometer of humility, which by its nature is quite hidden and not so easy to identify, the best single barometer of how humble we are is how gentle we are. Only humble people will be gentle, because only they will honestly say to themselves, well, why should I get angry with her? Come to think of it, I've just done the same. Or, why should I be irritated? If I'm really honest, I know there must be things that are irritating to him or her. So why should one irritant be irritated with another irritant? If we are humble, if we look into our hearts, and not just betimes, but constantly, what do we see there? If we look, you know, we don't see except what we're looking for. If we look into our hearts, we see sin, passion, weakness, ineptitude, crudeness, self-conceit. You name it, and we've got it. All it takes is a good, hard look. But that takes humility. We are so prone, as the same Jesus has been telling us, we are so prone to see the faults, even the minorest of them, the littlest thing that Christ calls speck in our brother's eye, and we don't see the beam in our own. And do you know why? Because, well, maybe the beam is so big in our own eyes we can't even recognize the fact that the person does have virtue, does have fine qualities. We always, remember this, we always see others through our own eyes, and our eyes our sinful eyes. So much and more that could be said about Christ's teaching about gentleness, his practice. Christ practiced his gentleness from the womb of his mother. No objections recorded by Mary or Joseph over having to trek the long miles to Bethlehem. The Christmas scene is a study in gentleness, realizing that behind that crib there were so many reasons for being angry with a proud Caesar that forced this and no doubt thousands of others to travel just to sate his pride. But no. Then in his public life, the Savior was gentle with so many irritating people. That's almost a description of the 12 apostles, the 12 men who irritated Christ. How many reasons they gave him, from Peter, if that's the word, on down. And Peter, perhaps, more than anyone else. Forbearing, kind, understanding, repeating, explaining, gentle with sinners. Magdalene at Christ's feet, the woman taken in adultery, the mothers whom the disciples told to get these kids out of the way. And, most tellingly, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Christ was even gentle to the traitor who kissed him. In his passion, until he expired on the cross, gentle, forgiving, to those who had crucified him. And his last dying act was an act of gentle mercy to the thief at his side. How much we have to learn, but we have to want to learn it from the Master. There is one final question, however, we should ask ourselves, and that is, why? Why should we be gentle? Or more fundamentally, why is gentleness so insisted upon in Christian spirituality? The first and most obvious reason is because God became man to teach us this virtue. There are, as we know, two fundamental attributes in God relative to his creatures. They are the attributes of justice and love. From God's viewpoint, surely God had every reason to be angry with a sinful world. But had he only expressed his anger, he would not have become man. If only divine justice was to be manifest, there would have been no incarnation. God became man precisely, explicitly, uniquely, to teach us that though God is just and has had so many reasons, towering reasons, for righteous anger and punishment of a sinful world, God did not want to venge himself on man's sinfulness. So he became man that he might love, restraining his divine strength by the love which he exercises since he became man. And because he became man, in a word, another word, for God's mercy is his gentleness. That's the fundamental reason why we should be gentle. Because God became man to practice this most necessary of virtues. When justice is to be restrained by love, secondly, and understandably, we are to be gentle because Christ so insisted on our practicing this virtue. His word for us should be our law. Gentleness is not an option. It is not even merely an opportunity. It is a grave obligation. And the more we intend and insist that we are trying to imitate Jesus, the more gentle we must become. Otherwise, we are only his followers in name. But there is another reason. On the practice of our gentleness towards others depends, in some of the most frightening passages of Revelation, depends God's gentleness towards us. If we are provoked by others, we provoke God. If we tell ourselves that others make us angry, and maybe there's provocation, so what? So what? Unless we are kind and understanding, forgiving and forbearing. In a word, unless we are gentle with the failings and often the merest foibles in others, how can we expect God to be gentle, that is, merciful, towards us? And before him we have committed more than foibles. The virtue of gentleness is built right into the middle of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us, we plead with God. Well then, what a terrible condition Christ tells us to lay down. As, that is, insofar as I forgive others. Why be gentle? That is patient, putting up with, bearing with, not complaining, not reacting, not venging myself in the thousand ways that our sin-laden nature has of being angry. Why? Because in the exact degree, this is not poetry, this is revelation, in the exact degree to which I am unangry, that is gentle with others, God will be unangry, that is gentle, that is merciful to me. On this same level, we might also soberly remind ourselves, not only is our gentleness towards others a condition for God's gentleness towards us, but hear it. We having sinned, and God wanting to give us the opportunity to expiate our sins, how good of God. Though we must admit, dear Lord, how hard of God. See what he does? He puts irritating people into our lives. People that annoy us, that disturb us,